Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
If you like scary, we're about to supersize scary here in just 1 second. Tommy came in here and was like, Ed's got 10 pieces of audio of ghosts to play this morning.
Oh, there was more than that.
Is that right?
And then I went through it and I chose the best of the best, and the best ended up being 10.
Ashley here is from Marietta, and she came in a couple of minutes ago. She was telling us that she lives on this property in Marietta. You've had two people that have passed away on her property. She's got doors that are open. Opening and shutting, lights are flickering on and off. So she hit us up and we called Ed, who we call every single year from Georgia Paranormal Investigations. And he went over there with all of his equipment and comes on back the following day and plays some of those audio clips for us. And 10 is a lot. 10 is a lot, Ed. You were working overtime on this one.
Yeah, well, it was a good house.
Yeah, well, it was good in your case, bad for her. Good for you, bad for her.
Yeah, I love the house. I want to buy it from them, so I'm going to scare them out.
Smart.
There's exactly. The rub.
Yeah. All right. So what do you want to tell us about this house?
Okay, well, first of all, when we got there, we walked up on the porch, and we put our bags down, and Ashley and her husband already left the house. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing this voice. Sounds like it's coming out from behind me. And so the stage is set. Got me on the edge of my seat. You know, and I'm wondering what the heck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then the voice comes back. It turns out to be her on a ring. Yeah, I've never heard a ring before. So. Yeah, I think she meant to do that.
You're right, I did.
Yeah. And so we went in the house and we set everything up, of course. And then we tried to debunk her bedroom door that keeps opening and closing. And we found that when you close the door and latch it, that you just have to kind of barely touch it and the door will pop open. And I would suggest that you get that fixed to keep the ghost from opening and closing it. But if you do that, on the other hand, it might make the ghost mad, and you never know what's going to happen. So I'll leave that up to you.
Did you see the little lock that I put on top of the door?
No, we did not.
We put like a little latch at the very top, so it stays closed.
Okay.
So does that latch come unlatched when it opens up at night and you're in bed?
It does. It comes. Okay. It's just gravity. Yeah.
Sure it is.
Yeah. But you know, the door was level and it didn't move on its own, and when I touched it, it just kind of opened up a couple inches. And you said that it opened up and your husband saw it, but he looked for the animals. Mm-hmm. And it'd be very easy for your cats or dogs just to tap on the door and open it, but if there's no animals there and the door closes, you know what's doing that. So that was kind of interesting. And one thing that I found interesting is we investigated your house first before we went outside. Well, your house was completely dead. Nothing was in there. We felt nothing, which was very odd.
Is that a term you really need to use when you're talking about ghosts? things are dead around your house.
Yeah, we do it on investigations. So no pun intended, of course. But we said, well, let's go outside and see what's out there. And then we went out to the woods. And, of course, we got a lot of eye shine because of the deer out there. So no big deal. And then we walked back that trail you have back there, and we got to this dead tree. So, you know, it's about 6 inches, 8 inches diameter, and most of it's fallen off. And then there's like a bouquet of flowers on the trail pointed at that tree. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I had some flowers that died, and I was like, I'm just going to leave them out here, and if anyone wants to eat them, then
okay,
they can have them.
Yeah, we searched around the tree to make sure that was the only flowers there, like nobody's making sacrifices.
Oh, offerings.
Offerings, yeah, exactly.
No offerings.
Yeah. So while we were out there, we started EVP session, and that's when activity started. We started getting answers to our questions and stuff.
So your EVPs that you're about to play, your recordings, all came from outside?
Not all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, like I said, your house was completely quiet at first, but then we went back in the house and activity picked up. So,
you went outside and picked up a ghost and brought it back in the house, didn't you?
Brought several of them.
Okay.
Ooh,
I do tell.
The audacity. Yeah.
So while we were outside, we got three different voices. We got a deep male voice, we got another male voice, and a female voice. So when we got in the house, they were all there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of determined that maybe what's outside does come in, doesn't necessarily stay in your house. They may not. But like I said, when we first walked in, it was just quiet. There was just nothing there. And then we walked out to the woods. Mm-hmm. Had a good time.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to start
these
EVPs? Okay, and this first one, I asked, are you a member of the Cherokee Nation? And we hear maybe.
Member of the Cherokee Nation?
Oh, loud and clear. Loud and clear. Maybe. Maybe.
And, you know, I kind of thought, well, wouldn't you remember if you were or not? And then Brian brought up the fact that they were persecuted, they were driven mm-hmm. away from the land, so why should he admit to being mm-hmm. a Cherokee, not knowing our intentions? So we figured that's why we got that.
And again, just to be clear, you're not hearing these voices. You go back and you listen to the audio, or did you hear that as you asked the question?
Well, we're using the spirit box, mm-hmm. so it came over the spirit box on that one.
Okay.
Okay, on this next one, I ask, what else do you have to tell us? And you hear, good night.
What else do you have to tell us?
Ooh.
Good night.
Whoa! No. The last voice he was confirming.
Okay.
I left that in to explain, but I knew you were going to have that reaction.
Again, I'll remind you guys listening that sometimes it's hard to hear on speakers in your car, so you might want to check out the podcast later on and crank it up because it's clear as day for us in our headphones.
Yes. Right, exactly. Yeah. Now I always go back and listen to your podcast too. So after, you know, we got a couple of those, like, you said that they're the best ones that we got out there. So we went back in the house, and one of the means we have the spirits contact us is like one knock for yes, two knocks for no answer. So Brian asks, do you like these cats? And then you hear a knock.
Do you like the cats?
Get out of here. Ooh.
So is that a yes?
That's a yes.
Oh, thank God.
That's to keep the cats. Nobody more relieved than your cats.
Well, you're lucky you still have the white one alive.
Why? Did he smack you?
Well,
he's pretty to look at, but he's not really nice to anyone but me.
Well, he's kind of standoffish. But while we were investigating in the bedroom, Jenny was sitting on the floor on one side, Brian was sitting on the floor on the other, and so uncomfortable on the floor, I sat on your bed. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, Brian's climbing up the wall and saying a few choice words. And what had happened is your cat's under the bed, and you warned me that he likes to paw. Well, he was pawing the bed of the bed, I mean, the leg of the bed. And Brian saw that. We're in the dark, and this white paw comes out. And it just about sent him up the wall.
Joke's on you guys, man.
So that's on you.
All right. Next clip.
Okay. Let's see. The next one is, I ask, are you trying to tell him to turn that off, talking about spirit box, and you hear a quick, who said that?
Are you trying to tell him to turn it off?
Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear that. Yep.
Okay, on the next one, I say, tell us as much as you can, okay? And then you hear a gruff voice say, I will.
Tell us as much as you can, okay?
I couldn't really hear it that time.
Tell us as much as you can, okay?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah, that was kind of in the white noise. Okay, on the next one, Brian says, if you talk, we might be able to get your voice on the radio. And you hear something say a little bit.
If you talk, we might be able to get your voice on the radio.
It's not as big a deal to be on the radio anymore, but you just said TikTok or podcast. You might have got a very different response.
Well, we don't know the age of the spirit there. I mean, it might be radio or it might be TikTok. Right. Who knows? Okay. On the next one is Brian says, I want to say how sorry I am that you reached such a bad mental state that you harmed yourself. And you hear a voice that says, that's not me.
I want to say how sorry I am that you reached such a bad mental state that you harmed yourself.
Whoa. So you said that there were two spirits, right?
Three.
You had two.
Two that I know of.
Okay.
All right. I always like to check in with our homeowners.
Yeah.
Ashley, how are we feeling?
Not great.
Okay. A little nauseous.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, a little nauseous. Palms are sweaty.
But not shocked.
No, not shocked.
Yeah.
And we haven't even got the good ones yet.
Oh, Lordy.
Okay, on the next one, Brian asks, are you waiting for somebody? And the woman's voice says, my husband.
Are you waiting for someone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are afterlife people waiting on other people.
She's going to be waiting a long time. He's gone.
We've got two more.
We try to find out where he's at, if he had passed or not. On the next one, I say, anybody want to continue talking with us? We'll stay. And you hear a male voice say, nope.
Anybody want to continue talking with us? We'll stay.
Nope. I'm all set.
I'm done. Oh, it's an introvert ghost.
Yes. It's
like my
favorite.
Mo the friendly ghost.
This last one is the creepiest.
Oh.
Yeah, because this one was actually recorded with my camcorder I left running in your house while we were outside.
Oh, so this is not a spirit box one. This is one that was out in the ether.
Yeah, and, well, somebody playing with a microphone, I guess. But, we had it set up in your living room, and what happened was, you know, you had your three cats in the house, and then you hear on this one, it sounds like somebody breathing, but it's not a cat.
That's the freakiest one of all
inhale,
of them to me.
And exhale.
Yeah. Let's hear it one more time.
Those some deep breaths.
Uh-huh, very deep.
And that goes on while you're sleeping and when you're not home.
So now when you're in the house or going back to your home, does it change your attitude about it? Is it more like accepting because you know it's happening, or does it freak you out more?
I'm good with it.
You are?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. I think if you're good with them, they'll be good with you.
Yeah, we can coexist. Nothing's wrong with that.
Now, if only America was like that.
Right. And have you ever caught one of these on the actual Ring? Like, not the audio, but the video? Like a ghost seen it on Ring?
Yeah, some people have sent us some videos from Ring of things that they've seen in their house. And, you know, some's non-paranormal, some we just can't explain. You know?
So I was just reading this morning that Ring has made an offer that if you can capture the visualization of a ghost on your Ring, that they're about to give away $100,000.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
wow.
But you have to have visual proof and send it to them, and I didn't read all the specifications, but if that's you, man, go get your $100,000.
Yeah, well, I don't have a Ring. I need to get one, though.
But you go to plenty of homes that have, right?
Oh, that's true, but it's their video, so they get the $100,000.
Split the money with them.
Yes. All right. 10% of work.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck at that house.
Oh, thank you.
All right, it's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You guys are going to think that we are playing the same audio that we played from yesterday or the day before when it comes to the World Series, because Freddie Freeman is that guy.
Give Mo a break. This is a sensitive topic.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it changes a little bit for Mo today.
That's true.
Because at the end of the day, the Yankees saved their season last night by blowing out the Dodgers. That part I'm very happy about. But Freddie Freeman, I mean, every single day we come in here, I say our former Atlanta Brave, who was beloved here, is now playing with the Dodgers, hits another home run. He comes up in the first inning yesterday. Bam!
Betts is getting. It's huge. Freeman cracks one deep to right field. And going again!
Again!
Freeman floating in the World Series.
Unbelievable.
Four games, four home runs.
Wow.
Well, this one wasn't like the others, meaning it wasn't inner half where he has made Yankees pay and the Dodgers happy. This one he went out and got a flatter slider. But the same result. Short right field porch.
Hey,
man is locked in.
Yeah, Katie, if we can, because I know Mo really wants to hear that multiple times. So if we can get all the cracks of the bat every single time Freeman has hit a dinger, that would be amazing. Listen,
what Freddie Freeman is doing is absolutely unbelievable. But the Yankees had 11 runs yesterday. Can we play each and every one of those as well 20 times? I mean, we did win last night.
Congratulations.
That's not the part we're going to talk about.
We're still applauding Freddie, man. So that's four home runs in four games, and I think in the last two games that he played in the last World Series he was in, he hit two home runs also. So that's six straight games, if I have this right, that he's hit a home run in.
Is that, I mean, that has to beat a record, right?
I don't think anybody's ever done that.
I don't know.
Incredible.
I know way back in the day they used to call Reggie Jackson like Mr. October because he was hitting home run after home run after home run, but I don't know where it compares to Freddie. But again, This is funny. So last night I turned the game on and they are going to the bottom of the first inning and the score is 2-0. And I say to Amanda in bed, I'm like, I wonder if Freddie hit a home run. And then as they're going to show the score, they're showing Freddie in the dugout. And I'm like, oh my God, he did. He hit another one.
At what point do you just stop pitching to him? As a Yankee fan, I feel like that man is so locked in. Yes. Just let him take first.
Yes. As a pitcher, you just go, you know what? Go to second. Don't even go to first.
We'll give you second.
Bypass first.
Don't even bring him back to the game.
All right, so courtesy of ESPN, Los Angeles Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman homered in the first inning of Game 4 of the World Series, breaking a World Series record with a homer in 6 consecutive games.
That's crazy.
That's impressive, man.
He should still be here.
He
should be doing that for the Braves. All right, so tell us about this friend of yours that likes to test, quote-unquote, women on dates.
So I always think it's tricky, right, when you say openly that you test the people that you date, because it just can kind of feel, I guess, awkward in a sense of like, why are you testing somebody so early that you're dating?
I don't feel like that's weird, because I was even noticing last week when I was out with somebody, I was kind of mentally testing them, not actually like putting in front of them like things they needed to do. But if they would do something in a weird way, I'm like, my future husband would never do that. You know, like it's just kind of in the back of your mind. You're like, that doesn't really feel like it's adding up for what's going to be good for me.
Isn't there the very famous one from some movie back in the day where she like makes him open her car door? The Bronx Tale. That's the test that she gives a guy every single time.
Right. When she gets in the car, does she lean over to actually open the door for you after you let her in the car?
Right.
That's a great example of how you test on a date. So my guy has a test that he openly told me he does for every woman on the third date.
I'm the a-hole that when you open the door for me and you get in right before you start to open the door, I hit the lock button.
If you're driving, you can pull off a little bit, right?
I think that would be a great test, because I think that's a fun girl.
That's
right,
funny.
There. That's a second date.
Man, I used to do that to my husband, but then we got to a point, he's like, it's not funny anymore.
Typically, he says the way his dates go when he's dating someone new, he's old-fashioned, like Bert and myself. He always pays for the first date. He doesn't believe it should go any other way. If he pays for the first two dates as a man, he doesn't mind if he pays for the third date, but he gives the woman an opportunity to pay for the third date before he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he purposely waits until when the check is coming on the table and he goes to the bathroom. Just completely not even be at the table.
What do you mean?
When the check comes and they put it on the table, he's like, I'll be right. He goes and leaves the table and goes to the bathroom and sees if she's going to pay while he's in the bathroom.
Exactly.
This is a bad test.
How is she going to handle that?
I don't like feeling set up, because here's the thing. I'm always going to reach for my card and I'm always going to say, do you want to go halvesies on this? But if you go to the bathroom and then expect me to put my card down, to me, that feels like you're now trying to corner me into paying. And I would never do that to a guy. I would never go to the bathroom when the check came out with him. So I don't feel like that's quite fair.
Now, if she just puts her card on the table and she hasn't paid it, that to me is the same amount of credit right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a pass for him.
Uh-huh.
So that's a win, right? So, but in his mind, the way he broke it down to me is, normally you go on a first and second date, we're getting to know each other. You don't even know if I'm worth your time. I don't know if I'm worth yours, but I'm willing to pay to see and figure it out.
Sure.
By the time I go on a third date, that means we grooving. We going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So now I want to see, when you got an opportunity to go out your way to do something for me, are you going to do it? Or are you just going to sit back and continue to let me handle it as I've always have the first two times? Because in his brain, if I pay for the first two dates and I happen to go to the bathroom and it's a lighter check, let's say it's a $30, $40 lunch, in his mind, her card should be on the table when he gets back, or should be taken care of. But if she's just sitting there waiting for him to get back and pay for that third date, he will not go on a fourth date with that woman. Like, he has a stand on business rule that if her card is not on that table when he gets out of that bathroom, no fourth date.
Abby, if that happened to you, if you've been on 50 dates, right, and 50 guys were doing the same test, how many times would you fail that one?
I'm going to the third date 50 times. This is a new record for me. So for me, I mean, this is basically what happened to me with London Boy. I explained, like, he was disappearing to the bathroom, and it started to happen so frequently that I started to feel, like, pushed into a corner. And I had no problem splitting the bill or the check in any kind of way, but it does feel like, because it's so manipulative, that's a red flag for me. It's not so much about the principle of if you want to know if I'm going to pay or not, because I'm always going to offer my card. It's the fact that I feel like you are pushing me into doing it.
do you feel like it's still manipulative if he completely is willing to pay? Like, he's not going to get out of paying. Right. That's not his goal. He's willing to pay it, and he will pay for it. He won't even tell you that that was a test. Like, he doesn't say anything.
Sure.
He just wants to see if you're going to take initiative in a situation where you get an opportunity to do it.
It feels manipulative to me.
Really?
The going to the bathroom feels manipulative to me. Like, I'm going to see what she's going to do. And I had a therapist once that said that sometimes we will do these kinds of tests that are almost raising the bar so high that we almost want people to prove us right so that we can feel more comfortable with I knew they were going to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to kind of push people away and be avoidant. So when I see that, it almost feels like you want me to fail.
That's interesting.
I don't see this that way. I want you, like, I would want to go out on a fourth date. I'd be in that bathroom hoping, coming to the bathroom, that you are coming back from the bathroom, that you had the card down, because I would want it to work. But I've been in too many of those relationships, and that's been too scarring. So that would be a real test.
Yeah, I think it's a good test for that third, fourth date to see if you're going to bring the same energy I'm bringing or not. And if not, I think it's nothing wrong with saying, okay, I think I'm going to move on here.
All right, let me give you guys a reminder. On Tuesdays and Thursdays now, we are hooking you guys up with $1,000, like five times a day or something like that on Q99.7. Solomon Brothers is helping us with this. But here's what you need to know. You can't get that grand unless you sign up for it first. So we need you to go to Q997Atlanta.com. Go ahead and sign up for the $1,000. And then tomorrow morning, listen for your name. It starts at 7 in the morning. That'll be the first time we pay $1,000 out. And we'll do this all day on Thursday. Then next week, we're doing it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But you got to sign up for it first. So do that today. Put that number one on your to-do list. Go to Q997Atlanta.com for your $1,000.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, I got a social etiquette question for you guys. I'm going to readily admit that I did something wrong, okay? Like, out the gate, I did something that I never do. Like, 99% of the time, I make sure to ask this question. I didn't this time. However, I still think there's a social etiquette question here that needs to be asked. And it all has to do with bringing your dog out in public. I have three dogs. They're rescue dogs. They're all jacked up in their own special ways. So I don't take them out in public, okay? Bart takes them on walks and they stay at the house. We don't do like dog parks. We don't do public spaces because we don't.
They're just freaked out, so they would just be sheepish, but
I think Leroy, my old man, would be fine. And I think Willie would be good, but he's so big. He's 120 pounds, and he's just got these long legs. I think he would freak people out. And Boone, my Bernese Mountain Dog Rescue, was part of a puppy mill situation and was abused, and he's got mad anxiety, so no, I would not take him out in public. But there I was on a patio. It was a beautiful day yesterday, sitting on a patio, having my cappuccino, doing a little work on my computer. And this restaurant that I'm at was, I mean, it's packed. It's like, it's early midday, tons of people there, kids, babies, whatnot. And the three women come in with a dog. And there were other dogs on the patio. Like, this is a dog-friendly patio, right? And a dog comes in. And another dog gets a little territorial because it was protecting the baby, which was really, really cute. But this other dog comes in, and it was an older dog. It looked like it had like a little bit of a golden retriever mix in with it, right? And, you know, looked super friendly. So they come in, and they sit right next to me, right? And again, I readily admit what I did was wrong, and you should not do this, and I normally don't do it. But I put my hand down for the dog to sniff because I was going to pet the dog. You should always ask the owner, hey, is it okay if I pet your dog?
If you like your fingers.
Yes. And she immediately, she goes, oh, no, don't do that. He bites. And I go, oh, okay. I'm like, my apologies. I am so sorry. And then she goes on to tell me that this, like, this dog is a biter.
It's aggressive.
Yes. And I'm like, all right, absolutely. I will respect the dog's space. But then I started thinking, if you know your dog bites people, do you take your dog out into a public crowded place like that? Now, granted, I should never have put my hand down for the dog to sniff in an attempt to pet the dog. I was in the wrong there, and I own that. Mm-hmm. But if you take that out, should you even put your dog in a position where they could potentially bite somebody? Because again, it's not like they were just walking down a sidewalk. Like they're not like in a park or something like that. We are in a very crowded cafe with a lot of people mm-hmm. and kids, and they know that their dog is a biter and has obviously bit people before.
So I've never had a dog that has been aggressive towards people. My English bulldog got attacked by dogs, and after that, he was always aggressive towards dogs. Like, you ain't gonna get me, I'm gonna get you first.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never been in this position before. However, I have seen people out in public and in restaurants with their dogs that have muzzles on their face. And if that's the case, then that is indicating to me that that is an aggressive dog. So they want their dog to be out in public, but it's also telling me, like, stay away. I think if I had an aggressive dog, that's... I wouldn't even take it out in public like that, to be honest with you.
See, no, I wouldn't.
And I wouldn't either. And I'm just like... Again... I admit I was wrong for putting my hand down, and I should have asked, and I should have clarified and gotten permission to even attempt to pet the dog. But if I, like, I know my dog's, you know, personalities, and this is on us as owners. Like, it's your responsibility to make sure that your dog is can be around others or around people. And then if they can't, they can't. And then you just, you know, you live your life a certain way. But I couldn't help as I was sitting there, and I didn't feel like unsafe or anything like that. I wasn't like being, and I never said anything to them, but it just got me wondering as a pet owner, if you have an aggressive dog that has bit people before, should you take them out in public?
So I've only had family dogs. I've never owned a dog myself, so I don't really know dog etiquette per se, but I do wonder, like, if you do have an aggressive dog and you keep your dog leashed up into yourself and you don't allow your dog to, I guess, necessarily be in a position to attack anyone else, what is that person really doing wrong?
Mm. But this is, I mean, that dog had to, like, they were in the corner of the cafe walking in between tables and in between people to get there. We weren't, like, we were very, very close proximity.
Okay.
I have two theories. The first is that maybe the dog isn't aggressive. Maybe he just kind of nips at people, like, once they start going in for the pet.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I just want to play it safe. The other theory I have is a little bit, I don't know if weird is the right word, but I've always wondered how dog owners feel when they take their dog out in public and they're just trying to let their dog enjoy the nature and getting to socialize. And you have all these strangers coming up on the dogs and like petting them, and then you're bringing all these strangers ick into your home. So I almost wonder if she's like a little bit of a germaphobe like me, and where she's like, don't touch my dog. I don't want anybody's nastiness coming into my house.
Mm. I mean, that's a theory, but when I spoke to her, it was very apparent that her dog bites people. She was like,
you know that you got a responsibility.
Because she was like, you got very lucky. You got like, and she was like, it was like a whole thing. And I'm like, I profusely apologize.
Here's Candace. Hey, Candace, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hello.
Good morning. Kristen, what if you were a 5-year-old child and didn't ask?
I mean, most days I act like one.
Yeah. Can you attack somebody's maturity level?
Yeah.
Children don't ask.
I know.
Children automatically run up, and that is very dangerous. She needs to be more responsible with her dog. I have a tiny 8-pound peek-a-poo that has never bit a person in her life. She was attacked at a dog park, so I don't take her out. But she loves people, and when people come over, she rolls over. But I always have that conscious in my mind that if there were children in my home, she could potentially bite them, because small dogs bite quicker than big dogs do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
If it's me, I'm not bringing that dog around people. And if I am, it's got a muzzle on it, because it's indicating to everybody, hey, you know what's going on, I know what's going on, and nothing needs to be said whatsoever.
The Burt Show.
Our listener Kendra just wants her dang earrings back. That's all, but it's a little uncomfortable because she ended up linking up with a dude for a one-night stand, and she's uncomfortable getting those earrings back herself. So she wants our help. Hey, Kendra.
Hey, I'm in trouble.
Busted. All right. So where do we begin?
Oh, man. Okay. I guess I had a little too much fun this past weekend. Me and my girls went to a Halloween party at a club. We dressed as Lady Marmalade. We had Little Kim, mm-hmm. Christina Aguilera, Pink. I was Maya.
Nice.
Yeah, we looked amazing. So I was not surprised when we got invited into this one guy's VIP section. These guys, like every one of them was hot. Like this one was hotter than that one. I mean, it was like amazing. But there was one guy in particular that I totally like right from the get out was vibing with. He was dressed up as Boss Baby.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sexy Boss Baby?
Oh, yeah. So, like, he was in this black suit, and he had a pacifier. Look, I'm a sucker for a guy in a suit, okay? Right. We're just going to say that. So, long story short, went back to his place. We had fun. I left, I guess it was, like, 6 a.m., and when I got home, I realized I left diamond hoop earrings back at his place. They just, like, we were snuggling afterwards, and they were getting in the way, and I took them off, must have, like, you know, put them off to the side and just totally forgot to grab them when I left.
Sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not my earrings, actually. They're my stepmom's. They're 1,000% real. Like, these things are expensive. They were a gift from my dad, but they totally made my outfit, and like, she was really kind to trust me with them, but she and my dad are going to kill me if I don't get them back, and they will kill me twice when they find out where they were left. So I'm having dinner with them tonight, and she's expecting me to give them back. And I, please, I need you to get a hold of this guy and get them back for me. I have his first name. I have his address. Because I got an Uber home from his place, but hello, we didn't exchange numbers. I mean, you know, one night stand, we didn't get into a lot of details. I don't even know his last name, but you will save me from having to show up at his door, you know, like banging on the door, demanding my earrings. Please, I need your help.
All right. All right. So we get it for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Research already done, homework already done, and Kristen can take it from here.
All right. So Kendra, I got you, girl. You just wanted to have a little fun. We made a little mistake. We left something rather important behind, but I worked hard for you the other day. So I did some digging. I used the guy's address to conduct some searches. So I got his full name from property records. That was easy. So I got first and last name.
Yeah. So if you, first things first, if you want his last name, we can provide that for you at another time.
Then I found him on Facebook. That was easy. And lucky for us, he had his email attached in, or listed in his about info on Facebook. And so I sent him an email and I kept it short and sweet. I said, "Hey, Sean, AKA Boss Baby. I'm Kristen from The Bird Show. You met Kendra, AKA Maya from Lady Marmalade, this past weekend at a Halloween club party. You guys connected and had some fun. She doesn't have a way to contact you and asked if I could figure out how to get a hold of you. She accidentally left something of significant value at your place. She was hoping to get her belongings back as soon as possible. Could you confirm you have them and let me know the best way she can get them from you? Thanks." Sean, AKA Boss Baby, did hit me back. And Kendra, he wrote, "Sorry, I think you have the wrong person."
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no way.
So I did a little double checking. His Instagram page is also connected to his Facebook because, you know, they're all one. And I went to his Instagram page. He is not a poster. But Sean, AKA Boss Baby, was tagged in a group photo. And there he was at the club. The exact night Kendra said, dressed as Boss Baby. So somebody had tagged him that was there with him. And so it's him. I took a screenshot of the photo and I sent it back to Sean. And I attached the photo to the email and I go, "This is you." "No." Didn't take long. He hit me back and he said, sorry, not me. I don't have her earrings.
No. Oh, come on.
So this dude knows he's got the earrings. He's thinking that the diamonds are real and he's gonna try to cash out, right?
He's going to pawn them off.
Is that the suggestion?
Either that or he has somebody in his life and he's just trying to close this chapter out and end up not be involved with it at all.
Or maybe he accidentally threw them away and he feels really bad about it. Mm-hmm. So now he's running away from the problem.
Well, he said, sorry, not me. I don't have her earrings. I immediately hit him back and I go, I never mentioned anything about earrings.
Oh. You didn't? No. I was under the impression you did also.
I was too.
All I said is that she left something of significant value.
Hey. Oh, we got him.
Uh-huh. This guy's an idiot.
Yeah, good for you. Finally, all these crime podcasts you've been listening to have paid off.
We got to demote him from boss baby to intern baby, right? With this intellect.
So listen, I was feeling myself.
Oh, God.
So again, I wrote, I never mentioned anything about earrings. All I said is that she left something of significant value. We know where you live. We can do this the hard way and show up at your door tomorrow with the police to retrieve her property. Or we can do this the easy way. We can show up at your door by ourselves and you can hand over the earrings.
You're about to be an American hero.
Which option would you like to choose?
Energy.
Hard or easy?
Ooh. Even I'm shaking in my boots.
Yeah, we pulled it up.
Kendra, I got you, girl. You just wanted a little something from Boss Baby. You didn't ask for all this.
Right.
He wrote back pretty much immediately, and he said, easy. I typically get home at 5:30.
Oh, okay. You're amazing. Yep.
All right.
I said, thank you for your cooperation. We will see you then. Listen, Kendra, we ain't going. But if you go to his house today at 5:30, you can grab your earrings before you have to go have dinner with your dad and your stepmom.
Oh. How about that? Oh God, KK.
For the win.
KK for the win.
Masterfully done.
KK for the win.
I never said nothing about the boss baby busted.
Go get your earrings, Kendra.
I'm going.
And good for
so
you, Kristen.
Much.
I know that was a huge one. I was really feeling myself.
Who
last night.
Cares that you completely neglected spending time with your kid yesterday? For this bit.
Hey, listen, he had a great time outside with his dad jumping in a pile of leaves while I was inside trying to shake down a man for some diamond earrings one night stand.
Well done.
Thank you.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.